Part 3.
You're going to listen to a conversation between a student called Jim and a lecturer about an essay which the student Jim wrote. First, look at questions 21 to 23. As you listen, answer the questions.
Come in.
Hello, Dr. Towson.
Ah, hello, Jim. Come and sit down. Now, it's about this essay of yours, am I right?
Yes, the one on global employment.
Ah, yes. Global employment. Let's see. What was the exact title again?
Information tech...
Right, here it is. Information technology will put millions of people out of work throughout the world in the coming decades. Explore the arguments on both sides of this debate and give your opinion.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. On the whole, I was very pleased with what you wrote. You've presented the different points of view clearly.
Thank you.
Did you give the sources for your statistics?
Yes, I...
Yes, I see. The World Bank and the OECD. Where did you get the figures from?
On the internet.
Right, I see. Okay, well, let's have a closer look.
Okay.
Now, near the beginning, you draw a parallel between present-day fears about machines replacing people.
Yeah.
And the 19th century Luddites. It's an appropriate parallel, but don't you think it might be better to explain who the Luddites were?
Well, I did think about it, but...
Yes?
I thought it might be a little bit simplistic.
Well, yes, maybe. But a short sentence might help, just to show the connection between then and now.
Before the conversation continues, look at questions 24 to 27. In his essay, Jim mentioned three reasons for people's fears and two reasons why people's fears are unjustified. For questions 24 to 27, there are two alternatives, A and B. Decide which alternative is the most suitable answer and circle the appropriate letter. In the book, you can see that there is an example.
Good. Let's move on then.
Right.
So, in the first paragraph, you describe three reasons for people's fears. IT is more pervasive in its impact than the effect of steam power or electricity, affecting service industries as well as traditional manufacturing. Second, IT is being introduced faster than earlier new technologies. And thirdly, that it makes it possible for jobs to be easily moved from one place to another. Could you have described any other reservations?
Well, I suppose I could have said that the richer industrial economies fear the easy transfer of their jobs to poorer and therefore cheaper economies, but I felt it was too restricted to fear. You could also blame the media for their coverage of large job losses at big firms without publicizing small business creation.
I see. Fair enough. So then you continue with two paragraphs saying why people need not be afraid. I see you start with the historic evidence that over the past 200 years of huge technological advance, employment and real incomes in rich industrial countries have risen fairly continuously.
Yes.
And you illustrate it by an OECD chart. Then you state that although jobs are destroyed by new technology, new ones are constantly being created which offset the losses. I liked your example here that as blacksmiths and coachmen disappeared, mechanics, drivers and car salesmen took their place.
Before the discussion continues, look at questions 28 to 30. For questions 28 to 30, there are four alternatives, A, B, C and D. Decide which alternative is the most suitable answer and circle the appropriate letter.
Now, where were we?
Yes,
you said that although new technology may reduce the amount of labour necessary to produce a given volume of output, this doesn't necessarily reduce overall unemployment.
Employment.
Sorry, yes, employment. Because technology can boost output and create new demand and new products.
Yes.
Perhaps you could have given some examples here of products which didn't exist 20 years ago.
You mean things like VCRs, personal stereos, soft contact lenses? Yes, I suppose I should have done.
And of course, computers themselves, both personal and industrial. Good. So, let's have a look at your conclusion. So, you believe that on balance, given a favourable business climate and a well-educated, high-skilled workforce, there's no reason why IT should destroy jobs?
Yes.
You haven't explained what you mean by a favourable business climate.
I mean an environment where there aren't too many restrictions, rules and regulations like protectionism over goods, and restrictions on work practices, and perhaps minimum wage levels that are too high.
I see. Well, you've certainly thought through the issues, but they are complex, and perhaps you could have gone into them rather more deeply. However, as I said at the beginning, you're good and clear about your points, so I've marked it,